Welcome to the Talking About Horses podcast with Di Denton, where we talk about all things horses. From interviews with leading horse people and industry experts, to useful and usable ideas, resources and discussions, we're talking about horses. Today's Talking About Horses episode is brought to you by Muddy Creek Rain Gear, the riding rain gear that really works. Whether it's long, short or high-vis rain gear that you're after, there'll be something to keep you dry and comfortable in any range of weathers in the Muddy Creek Rain Gear range. Check it out at www.muddycreekraingear.com.au. So, if you're ready, let's get going. Another interesting episode awaits. The Hunter Valley Brumby Association is a registered charity based about an hour north of Newcastle at Stroud on the sort of the mid-north coast of New South Wales. Catherine Massey is the president of the Hunter Valley Brumby Association, and I'm talking to her today to find out all about what they're doing. How are you?
Hi, Diane. Thank you for having me.
That's a pleasure. So tell us about the association.
The association was formed in 2009, so we're just about to celebrate our seventh year since we formed. And it basically started because I bought my first Brumby. And I realised that they are such an incredible horse. I had many domestic horses over the years that were full of people problems and health problems. And I myself enjoy trail riding and pleasure riding and in big groups. And I thought, well, what better way to go than to buy a Brumby?
So where'd you get your Brumby from?
I bought my Brumby from near Tamworth. And he was originally through another charity, but I bought him privately. So I brought him home and I thought, wow, he is just absolutely amazing. I've never had a bond with such a horse, and so low maintenance, so hardy, so tough, and just such an absolute incredible pleasure to own. And I realised that we do have our own Brumby populations in the Hunter Valley, and that there was no association there to ensure their safety and their well-being. And that if they do ever conduct a trapping or removal program or management programs in our area, that there was nobody really to take them.
Right. I saw on the highway down around south of Narong yesterday, there was signs saying wild horses the next 5 kilometres in forest there.
That's right. They generally tend to stay behind the fence. Normally early in the morning, about 3 kilometres south of Bulladilla, if you look to the left and you're travelling north, you will actually see a family group, and they'll just be on the other side of the fence there grazing away early in the morning.
On the plains, in the wet plains down there, or is that further south than Bulladilla?
It's just about 3 kilometres, so it's almost before you get to town. And, you'll spot them through the bush there, just on the other side of the fence, behind the safety fence there, grazing away early in the morning.
How cool would that be? Yeah. So what sort of activities does the association involve themselves in?
We do a lot of promotional work, such as large events, like we're here today at Equifest. So we'll do promotion of Brumbies. Also, we need to fundraise as well. And we actually started originally the Brumby classes at our local shows throughout the Hunter Valley. So we've now got many classes in many different shows in the area, which is absolutely fantastic. But it's about getting them out and about, raising awareness, also through our website and social media as well, just ensuring that people understand the problems that Brumbies are facing, what an incredible horse that they make, and the ongoing issues that are associated.
Is the Australian Brumby classed as a registered breed?
They are a registered breed, right. Yes, through the Australian Brumby Horse Register. So we class, the ABHR classes Brumbies as a horse from the wild that has been there for a minimum of 5 generations.
Do they have to be wild caught, or are we talking generational, you know, foals from wild-caught Brumbies?
At the moment, you can breed 2 wild-caught Brumbies, and that foal can then be registered. But each Brumby that comes from the wild must be certified either by National Parks and Wildlife or by private contractors to say that the horse has been captured from the wild. So you do need that documentation. You can't just buy a horse on hearsay that it is a Brumby. It needs to be certified.
Right.
So there are genuine Brumbies that are in the Brumby classes, and they all carry the documentation.
Right. Give me a bit of a rundown on what a typical Brumby looks like, you know, sort of
different areas have their different characteristics.
Yep.
So, for example, in Oxley Wild Rivers National Park, there's a lot of beautifully coloured horses. And they're also quite tall as well, but they are still from the mountains, so they're quite solid.
Right. So Oxley Wild Rivers, we're talking up around Tamworth.
Yeah, in the New England area. Yep. The ones from Guy Fawkes tend to be around the 14 hand mark and very solid. The ones from Kosciuszko are also typical mountain Brumbies, whereby they... So the Kosciuszko Brumbies are typically from a background of very old school thoroughbreds, not the thoroughbreds that we see today, but the thoroughbreds that our early settlers rode on, Timor ponies that they used to carry their packs, and Clydesdales that were used for the logging. So that's why you'll see these horses with a lot of feathering, big white blazers. Generally in the north, you will find them with long flaxen manes and tails and beautiful chestnut bodies. They are stunning. In the Kiandra area, you'll find a lot of blue roans and red roans. And then in the Tantangra area, you'll find a lot of duns and even Brumbies that strikingly look like Exmoor ponies. And we've actually done our homework in that a lot of Exmoor ponies were brought into the country in the late 1800s. It became very popular. And those studs were located typically in the Southern Highlands. But when their popularity died down and the combustion engine came through, a lot of those horses were let go. So you'll actually find a lot of Brumbies with those very typical Exmoor pony markings, which is fantastic. And also, too, I'd like to note that in Kosciuszko National Park, you'll find what's called the Pengari gene. And that is a very, very old world gene. So that goes back to the Exmoor ponies, your ponies, and your Przewalski's horses as well. So that really pale muzzle, the pale around the eyes, the pale legs, and the pale underbelly.
Yep.
So they carry these very, very significant genes that date back, you know, thousands of years. And that's why we feel that the Kosciuszko Brumby is so significant.
I didn't know that Brumbies came as coloured horses.
Yes, they do. Yeah. They do. Only thing you won't find, of course, is an Appaloosa, unless one let go a long time away. But, yeah, you won't find Appaloosa colouring. But there are some beautiful coloured Brumbies out there.
And I have seen you around some of the local shows with your black
Diesel,
you're a black Brumby.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen you around, so I was aware that you had started those classes. I think it's a tremendous thing. Are you getting many people participating?
Oh, yes, it is grown substantially. So from just a couple of classes in the Hunter has now, flourished throughout all of our area. Now down in Sydney, here in Sydney, there's quite a number of classes. They have started now. Believe it or not, it's actually taken quite a while to get them down into the Southern Highlands area and those snowy mountains area. But Adam and me just had their first show, their first Brumby class. 18 Brumbies turned up to the class.
18? That's huge.
Yeah,
I mean, any normal ag show is lucky to get
3 or 4, half a dozen.
Of any breed.
Yeah. 18, and everybody had a fantastic time. The Australian Brumby Horse Register is now really rewarding people that want to get out there and show their Brumbies to the world. You know, $50 prize money for champion Brumby, plus now garlands as well. So we're making sure that when people see the Brumby classes, they're going to go, wow.
Yeah, how long before they're at the Royals?
Well, with the Royals, I do have contacts to be able to get them at the Royals. The problem is you do need very large numbers to be able to hold the classes down there.
Yeah,
that's true. But one day it's certainly a goal that we can work on.
Yeah, that's tremendous. So, of course, there's lots of drama at the moment and talk and upset about the talk, and I don't know what's happening with it just at the moment with the Brumby culling. Talk to me about that.
The Kosciuszko Management Plan has been in works what seems like forever, that we've been working with meetings with national parks, with ministers and so forth. It's been a very, very long campaign. It's very time consuming as well. People don't understand with, you know, 30 odd Brumbies to take care of at home and doing all the campaign work and everything. It's really been draining. So we'll actually be glad when it finally gets out there. It was supposed to really be released about 12 months ago.
Yeah.
They've been dragging it out. And then, of course, they announced that they wanted to cull down all of the horses to 600. But it was actually, the media picked up on the 600, but it's actually between 400 and 600 horses.
Even worse.
We're also talking about not 400 to 600 in one group, but 200 in the northern end and 200 in the southern end. Now, if a fire were to go through like in 2003 that wiped out 50% of the Brumby population, those populations will not be reintroduced. So we could actually get down to as little as a small pocket of 200 horses, which is not genetically stable for a horse that has been out there for, you know, 200 years and has the ecosystem. It wasn't always a national park. It hasn't always been a national park. And that ecosystem has found a balance. It has.
And look, people would say there hasn't always been horses there either.
That's right.
Or cattle, you know, it's the
you can still see the old farming fences when you go down there.
Yeah.
So you can still see those sorts of remnants. But as far as we are concerned, it doesn't matter which national park that we go into, whether it's Guy Fawkes, we go into Barrington, we go to Carrickabundi, we go to Kosciuszko, always see more damage done by people and by pigs than what you'll ever find from the horses.
Right. So what are the environmentalists saying that the damage the horses are doing? What's their thrust?
It's the hard hooves. It's the sphagnum bogs that are on the waterways. It's the fouling of the waterways. I mean, there's not many horses that are used to their water that will actually foul the water. So
Do they have a point?
In some areas, yes. There are sensitive wilderness areas. Just fence them out there. Just put up a fence. That's all you need to do. So there's many areas that, you know, are fenced off. You've got to also remember, too, when you go down to Kosciuszko National Park, one of the main things that you'll actually see in the park are these massive power lines. Huge. They're an eyesore. And they're worried about a fence being an eyesore. If you don't want them in these wilderness areas, just fence them out of there.
Right.
So that's all you need to do. There are ways. Yes, you can manage them, but to get them down to, you know, a 400 level is just, it's not sustainable for the horses. You've got to also remember, too, they are part of the tourism industry. People do go down to Kosciuszko National Park specifically just to see the horses.
Where do you think they came up with the 400 number or 400 to 600 number?
Out of the air, out of thin air. So, I mean, their excuse is there's around 4,000 horses there, so they've probably taken it down to 10%, which is what they did in New Zealand. They had around 3,000 horses, and they got them down to the 300 mark. But you've got to also remember is that the New Zealand situation is very, very different with the Kaim animal horses. They're in a much smaller area, and these horses were suffering because their numbers had become so high.
And they were eating themselves out.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. Whereas the Kosciuszko horses, you'll see the environment is pristine. All the rest of the animals are pristine. The horses are in great condition. Nature does take care of itself. You know, foals do die in the snow. You know, the average lifespan of a Kosciuszko Brumby is between 8 to 12 years of age. So you know, there's a lot of myths and misconceptions within the draft management plan when you look at it.
12 years is not a long time.
It's not a long time,
really,
no.
It's sort of getting in mid-stride, isn't it, for a domesticated...
For a domestic horse, it's a tough life.
Yeah.
It is a tough life. When you've got to dig through the snow, a metre of snow every winter,
yeah.
It's a very tough life.
Right.
So they've come up with this number. We do have a new environment minister now. So we are looking at talks with the new environment minister, see what she has to come up with and go from there. But I don't think, because of the public outcry, I don't think that they will look at getting them down to those numbers.
Right. How were they looking at culling them? Were they doing do an aerial shoot?
No, they won't do an aerial shoot. I don't think any politician wants that on their hands again after what happened with Guy Fawkes in 2000. Yeah. So they won't do an aerial cull. They'll probably look at doing a ground cull.
Is that like a muster?
No, ground shooting.
Oh.
Yes, ground shooting, but we've said that, no, you can't ground shoot because of the terrain. If you only wound an animal, you're not going to be able to do a follow-up shot.
No.
So we've said to them, no ground shooting. And so what we're also trying to push for is fertility control.
How would you do that?
Just dart them. That's all you have to do is dart them.
And is that a permanent thing or is that last X number of
It'll last
years,
months, 2 to 3 years.
Okay.
So that's 2 to 3 foals that won't be born to that particular mare.
And is that I've not heard of that before, is that a...
PCP. They've been using it on the Mustangs in America for around 25, 30 years. And we also do use it here in Australia for other species. But national parks, their excuse is, it's just all too hard, really. That's what it comes down to. No, we can't do that. It's just all too hard.
So you can shoot them with a bullet or you can shoot them with a dart gun.
That's right.
But you'd have to go back... more regularly to do that every couple of years or something.
You don't have to target the same horses. I mean, you can, and we'll actually leave a die. You could take a photograph, so you've got photographic evidence as to who has been darted. It can be done. Plus, you've got to also remember, too, that national parks will actually, for your viewers that don't know, national parks do passive trapping. So they will actually put out salt and molasses, then they'll slowly put up panels to form a yard, and then there'll be a tripwire at the back. So eventually they get used to walking in and out. The last horse will set off the tripwire, and there's X amount of horses in the trap. There could be anything from 5, and I know that they've caught up to 50 at one
point. Oh. So why do you think they perceive it as hard? I mean, there's the huge uproar that's been about the proposed, you know, aerial culling and things like that. And as a, you know, a long-time horse person, you know, brought up on Silver Brumby books, and it's like, oh, my God, you know, just awful. And, you know, we saw that the just terrible destruction and death that happened in the Guy Fawkes. You don't want that to happen for horses, camels, nothing. I don't want that to happen for anybody. I mean, kangaroo roo shooters, they have to do, they only get one shot, and it's got to be a headshot. They're there happily eating, and then they're not.
Yes.
Why is that not transferable to camels, water buffalo, pigs, or brumbies? I don't.
Generally, it's still done in our outback in Queensland, South Australia, Northern Territory, and WA. They just shot nearly 7,000 animals in Kakadu National Park, including wild donkeys and also brumbies. From memory, it was nearly 4,000 brumbies that were shot as an aerial cull. They will still continue to do it because their excuse is that because of inaccessible terrain and also because of the sheer large landmass that they have to cover, that they will do aerial culling. But as we saw a couple of years ago, when they shot a number of brumbies in the Lake Gregory area, there were still horses wandering around with their shoulders blown open a week later. And the vet only inspected 5% of the brumbies that were shot. And as they can see from the helicopter, well, if it's not moving, then it must be dead. Well, no, just because it's not moving doesn't mean it's actually dead. And there were horses that were dying in significant water holes as well.
So they're polluting the water.
Oh, and they're leaving their carcasses for things like wild dogs, wild pigs, and those populations to flourish. We're the only country in the world that does aerial culling. So, and this is what it comes down to. The brumbies are classed as a introduced pest. And until we get them classified as either historical heritage value that people see them for, then you choose, the choice of perception then is a lot more empathy.
So how is that likely to happen? How does that happen?
Well, unfortunately, you can't heritage list an animal or a person.
Now, aren't there heritage chicken breeds and things like that?
I don't know whether
they're... Or is that an English thing in England?
I think, see, over in England, you have to give way to the wild horses.
Yeah.
They are highly protected over in the UK.
Yeah.
But we refuse to protect them. Even the World Health Organization for Animals has pleaded with governments to protect their wild horse genes because our domestic breeds are becoming so inbred that we're going to rely on those wild horse genes eventually.
Yeah.
And Australia is the only one that refuses to protect any form of population of wild horses.
Yeah.
But thankfully in the plan, though, they have seen them for the first time. They have actually mentioned in print that they recognise that they do have a heritage and cultural value.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, that's a good step.
It's a good step.
It's a positive step in the right direction.
Yeah. So does the Hunter Valley Brumby Association, does it rehabilitate wild brumbies? Does it train them on?
We sure do.
Yeah?
Yeah, every year we'll go down to Kosciuszko National Park. We'll pick up as many brumbies as we can, depending on how many we still have in care and you know, how our pastures are looking and so forth, how much room that we have available. Mm-hmm. Thankfully, we just expanded our sanctuary, so we were able to take a lot more on last year.
Right.
And so we go down and we bring them home and we'll train them up and we'll find them absolutely brilliant homes. Last week we just conducted a 5-day young brumby handling clinic. So we had just our little babies that we picked up last August. They're about 14, 16 months old, and they hadn't been handled. So we put the call out there for anybody that could be pre-approved to come and do the clinic. And people came along, did the clinic, trained their Brumbies themselves with our help and supervision, and then they went on to their new homes on Sunday afternoon. It was fantastic.
Fantastic. So being based at Stroud, you're on a property.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, how many acres have you got there?
Personally, I have 18. I also have leases from my neighbours. So all up, approximately 50 acres.
50 acres. And how many horses?
We've got just over, we just have just under 30 now after last week.
Still a lot of horses.
It's still, it is a lot of horses.
It is a lot of horses. And are you getting much interest from the general public? Like, how many people came to this training weekend?
We had approximately 8 of us over the weekend. So some of our regular volunteers as well got to participate. We had 3 go to new homes as well during the week. So we've got 2 that are the finding homes after the clinic.
Fantastic. You're a registered charity?
Yes, we
are. So people can donate, if tax deductible?
It is all tax deductible. And believe it or not, even though we take government horses off government land, we get absolutely no help from the government whatsoever. Yep. It is all of our own hard work, fundraising and donations from the public is the only way that we can survive.
Right, so you've got a website?
Yes, we do. It's at www.hvba.com.au or just Google Hunter Valley Brumby Association.
Right, okay. And what's the Hunter Valley, not the Hunter Valley, the Australian Brumby Horse Register? So this is to getting up like a breed register.
Yes, it is the ABHR is the breed register. On the website as well is all of the forms that people can get and lots of information about how to show their Brumbies. We also have information there for judges that may not have judged a Brumby class before. So there's lots of information there. So that is the breed register. And also our president works very hard in contacting all the different shows. If you have a Brumby that is registered or is able to be registered, just contact the ABHR and say, look, I would like the Brumby class in my local area, at my local show. We'll get it up and running for you. We'll contact the show. We'll do all the sponsorship and we can get a Brumby class going in your area.
That's a fantastic thing.
Yes.
And on that note, it's been lovely talking to you.
Thank you so much, Di.
If anybody's interested in a Brumby, and if you're a Silver Brumby reader from a kid as we are, you know where to go. But it's a great thing to be able to think that you can be riding or having one of those heritage horses type things.
They're incredibly special.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks so much, Catherine. Lovely to talk to you.
Thank you, Di.
Thanks for listening to the Talking About Horses podcast today. This podcast has been brought to you by Muddy Creek Rain Gear. Rain gear for people who love to ride no matter what the weather. If you've enjoyed this podcast, I'd love it if you were to subscribe, share it with your friends, and leave a review on iTunes. If you'd like to find out more about today's conversation topic or continue the conversation, then simply head over to the Talking About Horses podcast page on the Muddy Creek Rain Gear website at www.muddycreekraingear.com.au/news, where you can also check out their great range of wet weather gear. Thanks for listening. I'll be talking about horses again soon.